Reading is taken from Psalm 19, and that can be found on page 552 in the Bibles in the pews. So it's page 552, and we're reading from Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure, and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the gospel. The gospel this morning is taken from John, chapter 5, verses 36 to 47, and can be found on page 1069. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures, because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Today is Bible Sunday, and I felt it right to give a reflection on that subject, what it means to be people of the book and to enable the Word of God to enrich our lives. So that's what we're going to be thinking about this morning. Might I pray? Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we've just heard you say you diligently study the scriptures but refuse to come to me for life. Please forgive us when that's true of us, And may it not happen this morning. May we read these words, think about them, and indeed receive you, the one and only life giver. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I'm sure it probably happens to everyone at some point in their lives, and I'm sure it happens quite frequently at many points in many people's lives. That's the God-given, and I use those words carefully, God-given impulse or spirit-given moments that we sense we, how can I say this delicately, we want to be better than we are, or we want to change, we want our Christian lives to improve and to grow. One of the answers to that question, and that question does surface in all of our lives at different times, is to come to terms with what the Bible means to me and how I'm going to access its teaching. So what I want to do this morning is look at three miracles that can happen. And you'll need to turn with me to Psalm 19, because there is a fascinating selection of three miracles that are illuminated there for us. Page 553, or thereabouts, Psalm 19. I had to check myself when I thought, oh, I'm preaching on Bible Sunday today. I'm sure the Apostles' Creed talks about Christians believing in the Bible. I can talk about, well, we need to believe the Bible. The Apostles' Creed is there and say we need to believe the Bible. And so there we are, job done, sermon over, we need to get and read the Bible. And I looked at the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and it doesn't say it as clearly as that. So does that mean the whole creedal system of the Christian church is wrong? It does say, as we will say later on, that according to the scriptures, the Bible, Christ died and rose again. There's one for the Bible. It also says, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the main agent of transformation by which we become better Christians, better people, by which God says to those of you who want to follow Christ, the Spirit's there to help you. Now, the Bible says that it's Spirit-inspired, or technically the word is God-breathed. And the inspiration of Holy Scripture happens in at least three ways. So, for example, the feeding of the 5,000, the inspiration of the Spirit writing the words of the feeding of the 5,000, which are in all three of the Gospels, not John, but it's in all the others. It's there to record what happened. Jesus did a miracle. He fed 5,000 people from five loaves and two fishes and a small boy's packed lunch. And the miracle is that many other things that happened in Jesus' day throughout the history of when the Bible was written are not recorded. You have great world leaders referred to in the Bible in just a verse. But you have other things that are mentioned, stories of people as they go about lives that are written down for all time. It's inspired to record them. So you have the event itself, it's Spirit-inspired. You have the reflections of the writers as they wrote the book. So in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, each of those Gospels were written for three different audiences, for three different purposes. But the feeding of the 5,000 is in each of them. And so for Mark's purpose, that story serves that end. For Luke, the same. For Matthew, the same. The inspiration of the Spirit is there when it happened, when the book was written and for the people it was sent to, and then also, and here is the clincher if you see, the Word of God is living and active. When we read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, well, it happened. And yes, okay, Matthew, Mark, and Luke got excited about relating the story to them, but what about me? Well, as we read the story of the feeding of the 5,000, anything could happen to us as we read those pages and they come upon us, the inspiration of the Spirit will come. Potentially a miracle. It's a story about a miracle. maybe an impulse to share things. It was a story of sharing. Maybe an impulse to scatter or to gather. It's amazing how this miracle happens. And in many of these ways, we believe in the Bible because it's Spirit-inspired. The three miracles that are there in Psalm 19. The first is, in the first section, verses 1 to verses 6, it talks about the miracle of planet Earth, or the whole universe. So verse 2, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. Okay, the clocks have changed today, but today is a new day. Each day there is a new day. There is a fascinating sense that we are witnessing a miracle. We are still here, the gift of the new day. Planet and the universe is here by God's gift. How else did it get there? Random, pure chance? You believe that with its depth, with its universal height and breadth, with the delicacy and intricacy of the finite parts of our world that we look at under a microscope? Did it just happen like that? Did you just happen? Look at the person next to you. You're looking at a miracle. Yep, a real live miracle. God has made them. He's made the world. It's a miracle. The first part of Psalm 19. And then what happens in the next part of Psalm 19? A fascinating comparison. There's the world, and then there's the Word, which is also an inspired miracle. And look at what the wonderful things that are written about the Scriptures itself. The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. Look at verse 10. Anyone who's had this impulse to be a better person, to find Christ more, to grow in their Christian life, when they've opened the pages of Scriptures and have found that miracle that God speaks to them, they will sense that this is indeed Christ himself. Verse 10, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. Some people have even described it as addictive. Now that would be a wonderful addiction to have, wouldn't it? Amongst the many addictions that tragically are on offer today, that you want to grow as a Christian. And when you find the miracle of these pages of the Bible speaking to us and bringing us good things, you want more of it. It's better than money. It's better than honey. It really works. The miracle has happened. The miracle of the world, God has made it. The miracle of the Word, it's inspired to bring us good and to lead us to Christ. And then notice the other miracle that's happened. I wonder if we could not just call this Bible Sunday, but Speech Sunday. So look at the last verse of Psalm 19. We've looked at the world, we've looked at God's Word, and now we're thinking immediately, fascinating that these three things are held together, the very words we use from our lips. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Clearly there's a connection between what we say and what we think about. We're familiar with Freudian slips, or it's just come out, but you're thinking it, you're feeling it, and out of your heart and your thoughts, your mouth speaks. And so this person is praying, might I not just witness to the miracle in the world, God has made it, not just witness to the miracle of the Bible, God has inspired it, but may I be a channel of your miraculous change within me. As I speak out of the overflow of my heart, as I speak, as I communicate, may good things come. May I be better. May Christ be stronger and more real. May he be the one who is speaking through me. Tragically, in Jesus' day, this isn't the whole story. It was only a small section of people who studied the Scriptures day after day. Rules and regulations, almost controlling people. Not surprisingly, Christ was rather tad unimpressed with this. You study the scriptures, but you fail to come to me for life. When we're conscious that God's world is a gift, when we're conscious that within these pages of scriptures, a miracle can happen and God can speak to us, then we will find Christ becomes more real. Speech Sunday. God speaks to us in his world and in his written word. What comes out of our lives and our mouths that demonstrates that from the pages of scriptures, we've come to Christ for life. If you've not started in Bible reading daily or regularly, can I encourage you to? There are plenty of aids too. Probably one of the best places to start is from the very words of Jesus, a simple prayer before you read. Quietness, stillness. Thank God for the gift of the day. Thank God that you're here. Thank God for Christ. And ask him to speak to you. Some of the pages, agreed, are difficult to understand. But that shouldn't put you off. You'll find much that's accessible. And Christ will be with you. And what a beautiful prayer to pray. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, who's my rock and my redeemer. Amen.